May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and the actions of all our lives be acceptable to you, O Lord. Amen. So we've been exploring how God calls us as individuals in a church to be vital and fruitful. And throughout biblical history, when God wanted to get something done, he would raise up men and women through whom God worked to do incredible, incredible things. Abraham and Sarai obeyed God when they left their people and land and to begin a nation whose mission was to bless other nations. Moses was tending sheep when God called him to lead a mass exodus of God's people from the tyranny of Pharaoh's Egypt to the promised land. Now these men and women were ordinary, real people with real issues. See, Abraham and Sarah were too old. Joseph with his coat of many colors was too immature to handle the dream that God had for his life. Moses had trouble speaking in public. Mary was a teenager with an unplanned pregnancy. Solomon with his 700 wives and 300 concubines, well. But Timothy wrestled with insecurity as he struggled with claiming his identity as a leader in the early church. God tapped ordinary men and women to do extraordinary work. And to the job that God calls these women and women is always a God-sized assignment. Build an ark, kill a giant, give birth to the Messiah, plant a community of Jesus followers where his name has never been known before. These were no small assignments. But when the job gets done, everyone will know that it was God who accomplished it. No human could ever accomplish the job without huge amounts of divine intervention. And Paul knew this personally. You see, he had been a persecutor of the church who, by the grace of God, was turned to the church's greatest missionary and evangelist. Paul called himself the biggest sinner of all. That God uses and calls the most unlikely people. And that has not changed. God calls you and me with all our imperfections and flaws and shortcomings. God calls us. And God has great plans for Franconia and for this community and for you and for me. And God has called us to be servant leaders, to be faithful to God and fruitful for God. In our scripture reading this morning, we find a letter from Paul written to Timothy, a young pastor in Ephesus. Now, Paul was taking on this mentor role with Timothy, instructing him about his service for Jesus. And Paul wants Timothy to know that there are certain qualities that are required of him as he serves as a pastor and minister of the gospel. Paul cares about what kind of servant Timothy has become and is continuing to become. And by listening in, we can gain wise and godly counsel that's still relevant for us today, that encourages us to be diligent and courageous to make the most of the opportunities that God has given us. In order for us to be vital as a church and as individuals, we must have an increasingly awareness and concern about what kind of people we are for Christ. 1 Timothy 4:16 tells us to keep a close watch on yourself and on your teaching. In order for us to be vital, we must be willing to take a hard look at ourselves, to examine our lives. Let's take a look at this YouTube video that highlights this. I love the moment when the man puts the stethoscope up to his own heart. He takes this deep breath, right? You saw that? And, because, you know, see, it takes courage to take a close look at ourselves. It takes courage. So we're to keep a close watch on our lives. And the word watch that is used here means keeping a critical eye on something. You see, it's more than just watching, but it's a watching that is done with great care and exactitude. Paul encourages Timothy to keep an eagle eye on his own life. We must give attention to what is within us. We need to be honest about ourselves and about what's in our heart. We can blame all kinds of circumstances that are happening in our lives, but we have to take responsibility for what is going on in us and how we act. So when Paul tells us to watch ourselves, we need to look inside to assess, you know, where we are. We need to take a spiritual inventory and see if we are where we want to be and where we feel that God wants us to be. To celebrate the progress that we have made and to make changes if needed. See, it's about being intentional and deliberate for God. Paul tells us to persist in doing this, giving it constant attention. And we're not going to let this Christian life just happen to us. You see, it's not a que sera, sera kind of thing. It's not whatever will be. Living for Jesus takes active, daily participation on our part. We're to wake up every morning and every day and with the intent to love God and to love our neighbor and to love one another. Must be determined to carefully live for the sake of Christ, that our lives may be faithful and fruitful. And so why do we do this? You listen to what it says here. It says, persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. So Paul is saying this is important. For when we do it, you know, not only do we affect our lives, but you know, it affects the lives of our family and our friends and our neighbor, our coworkers, our church family. You see, our faithfulness touches others' lives. So let's take a look at some of the advice that Paul is giving Timothy here. He says, you know, set the believers an example in speech and in conduct, in love and faith and in purity. Now, we're to be an example for others. It means a pattern, a model, something to be copied or followed. You know, everyone is a living example. Whether it's a positive one or a negative, we are examples, and people are watching. There was a stressed-out woman driving on a busy street, and she was tailgating the car in front of her as she made her way to work. Suddenly, the light turned yellow, and the person in the car ahead of her stopped at the light. She laid on her horn and her tailgate, and she was, you know, just throwing this fit and screaming and cussing and just blaring her horn. And as her tirade went on, she heard a tap on the window. And she looked over, and there was a police officer standing there. The officer ordered her out of her car, arrested her, and took her downtown for booking, fingerprinted her, and placed her in a holding cell. After a couple hours, the officer returned and apologized for the ordeal, explaining, I'm very sorry for all this, but when I came behind you, while you were laying on your horn and cussing at the guy in front of you, I noticed your WWJD license plate frame, your Follow Me to Sunday School bumper sticker, and your chrome-plated Christian fish emblem. Seeing all this and your actions, I simply assumed that you had stolen the car. You know, we are living examples, my friends. Let's take a closer look at some of the things that Paul told Timothy to be an example in. You know, in our speech, to be an example in our speech and what we say and how we say it. We need to learn to control our tongue. You know, we need to watch the way we talk to one another. To pray every day, you know, the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord. To be an example in our conduct or our actions. You know, we are to demonstrate that we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ through our actions. Our actions matter. And our love. And how we love and care for one another. How we care for the lost and the lonely. How we reach out to our community. How we show love to one another. To be example in our faith. And how we make faith our priority in our lives. In our busy, busy, busy lives. How we trust God to guide and direct us each day. How we rely on God in the midst of difficulties and our struggles. In our purity. You know, how we live our lives is important. You know, how we adhere to our Christian values. How we deal with sin in our lives. How we forgive and seek forgiveness. You know, we are to be a living examples. You may have heard said that you may be the only Bible that someone reads. You may be the only Bible that someone reads. Our lives speak. Our lives testify. You know, what are they saying? How what we say and how we live and in our love and our faith and in our purity and our values or our character. You know, people are watching, and it makes a difference. It made a difference this week. We had a wonderful week at Vacation Bible School at Hero Central. You know, we had so many volunteers that you could hear their lives speaking. And trust me, the kids were listening. They were listening. You know, we had an awesome theme. We had incredible decorations and fun songs. But you know what matters the most for those kids is the example of love that you set. And so we need to take a closer look at ourselves. You know, our psalm reading reminds us that God's desire, there's inward truth in our being. Meaning that we need to be real with ourselves, truthful about what's going on with us, to examine our lives, the areas of our lives, and when we fall short, you know, asking God to create in me a clean heart and renew my spirit so that I can live fully into who God created me to be. You know, the interesting thing happens as we grow closer to God, as we spend time with Jesus. You know, when we do that, the more our eyes are opened to see the areas in our lives that we need to work on. You know, in some ways, Jesus is like a magnifying glass. You know, in the light of his love and grace, we can see ourselves more clearly. And we also can see, as we look out in the world, we can begin to see the needs in the world and where our passions and our gifts can connect and to be able to see that focus coming into more and more. So as we examine our hearts and lives, to be an example, you know, Paul reminds us to do a couple more things. And to remember your purpose. He says, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. You know, Timothy's calling was to be a pastor or to be a teacher, and Paul was telling him not to lose sight of his purpose for why he was there. God has given us each a special calling, a special purpose. God has given this church a special purpose in this place. And so we're called to seek that out and to live into that, to identify our gifts and to develop them. He says, do not neglect the gift that is in you. And when God calls us to something, God gives us the gifts to be able to do that. Remember the saying that God does not call the equipped, but he equips the called. Do not neglect the gifts that God has given you. What gifts has God given you that you need to nurture and develop, that you need to put to use for God? We need to practice our faith, to put these things into practice, devote ourselves to them. It says, one translation actually says, to immerse ourselves in them, so that all may see your progress. You know, we've got to do the work. You know, most of us experience hard work and sacrifice and discipline in areas of our lives. But sometimes when it comes to our spiritual lives, we're tempted to think that just showing up will get the job done. And can you imagine if we showed up for work sometimes, like sometimes we show up for church or for ministry areas? You know, what if we went there when it was just convenient? What if we gave a half effort? Thomas Edison said, opportunity is missed by most people because it's dressed in overalls and looks like work. What opportunities is God calling us to work toward? You know, caterpillars go through this incredible transformation into this beautiful butterfly. When they break out of the cocoon, that they struggle and they push in order to break free. But you know, if they don't do the work, you know, someone were to come over and snip that cocoon open so they could get out, you know, actually they wouldn't be able to fly. They need that time of struggle, of work, in order to be able to fly in the world. You know, spiritual growth is not automatic in our lives. It has to be nurtured by prayer and Bible study and fellowship and worship and service together. Paul tells Timothy to let your progress be seen. When God is at work in our lives, it's something to truly be celebrated. You know, and it's not about us, but about God. It's not about what we have done, but what God has done in and through us. Because, you know, when I see God working in someone's life, I get excited. Don't you get excited when you see what God is doing? Don't you get encouraged? Don't you want to work even harder so that you can see what God can do even more? And so when God works in our lives, you know, it can influence and impact others' lives as well. And so as we practice our faith, we don't practice that in isolation, which brings us how we can help each other to grow. You know, Paul was someone who watched over Timothy. He was someone who held him accountable for who God was calling him to be. You know, we need to put into our build systems of accountability for our lives. You know, one of the hallmarks of the early Methodist movement was its emphasis on mutual accountability. Both clergy and laity alike were passionately committed to being in healthy, whole, and accountable relationships. They would meet in small groups where they watched over one another. And they answered questions, asked questions of one another, like, how is it with your soul today? How is it with your soul? The dynamic of being intentional about how they lived and that our lives are being watched over one another was part of the heart of the Methodist movement. So, who do you have in your life that can help hold you accountable to who God is calling you to be? You know, I'm part of a covenant group that I cherish that asks me that question, asks, you know, how is it with my soul? Where's God calling and moving in my life? As we develop trust and love for each other, how can we hold one another accountable to be these important commitments in our lives? You know, ministry is hard. It's hard work. And we need to constantly be strengthening our faith to recognize that, you know, left to our own devices, you know, even the most committed and faithful of Jesus' followers can drift. You know, we wander. So we people that love us and that have our best interests at heart to partner with us and challenge us to be all that God is calling us to be. Who is asking you, how is it with your soul? What steps do we need to take to be truly connected to someone or a small group that can hold us accountable to who God is calling us to be? And so the road to vitality comes as we are willing to keep a close watch on our lives, to have the courage to examine ourselves. George Acevedo says, "The single most important thing I will ever lead is my own life. No one else will lead my life for me. I have to do this by myself, within this amazing gift of Christian community. It takes tenacious intentionality to lead your life well." And so there was a tool that you were given today to help you begin to continue to do that. I invite you to take that out right now. It's a colored sheet. It says on it, one side says, "Ways I am faithful," and the other side says, "Ways I am fruitful." So these are the two key areas in our lives that we need to focus on. You know, one is our walk with Jesus, our faithfulness. The other is our work for Jesus, our fruitfulness. And the two are inseparable. And as we begin to focus on our own spiritual lives, that focus always moves us outward so that we to how God uses us and works in and through us, which is our fruitfulness. And as that begins to happen more and more, we have to draw closer to God and depend on Jesus more for our strength and power in order for God to do that. And so as you think about, you know, so ways I am faithful, you know, how is it with your soul? You know, are you abiding in Jesus? So there's some questions here for you to think about and kind of assess where you are right now. And don't miss the part where it talks about, you know, who can hold you accountable for this. On the other side, it says, you know, ways I am fruitful. You know, how is your ministry? How's your life in ministry? How are you abounding in Jesus? There's some questions there for you to reflect on. And how God is moving and growing in you. I'm so excited about our future together. So I encourage you to take this home and to pray about it and to use this tool. And I invite you to join me as we take a closer look at ourselves. Franconia United Methodist Church, how is God calling us as church and individuals to be vital, to be faithful to God and to be fruitful for God? So may it be. Thanks be to God. And so God now calls us. We are now invited to come into a time at the table.